Welcome to Ain't That a Mother podcast, the show where we hear stories about ordinary women creating an uncommon yet full life for their families. I'm your host, Mary Hunter, a wife and mother who holds a managerial position for the world's largest lodging company. Unpacking the method behind the madness in motherhood is my vibe. Through the wide lens of individual contributors in corporate America or stay-at-home moms, at the center, these women share a common thread, working harder than a mother. Thank you for joining me today, and this is Ain't That a Mother podcast. Cue the confetti. Today's episode features my mother. If it had not been for her, I wouldn't be. It is my hope that you enjoy this episode, Lessons from a Mother. One of the women in my life that needs no introduction, but definitely is due all the honor. In the Bible, it says, honor thy mother and thy father so that thy days on this earth will be long. And without further ado, I introduce to you my mom.
Hey, Mary girl. What's up? It is a pleasure to be on your podcast. And I'm really excited that we can share this moment. We share a lot of moments. This one is really special because I know it's dear to your heart.
Yes.
So I am so proud to be your mother.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Of all your accomplishments, what you've done as a mother raising your child, not because you're my daughter, because of what my mother taught me. Mm-hmm. And I taught it to myself, and then I just passed it on to you. Even with having Corey for 1 week, such a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And what y'all instilled in him, he bought it to Savannah.
Aw.
And I was just so proud of him.
Yes.
So that means what the training we went through as raising you and your brother, you guys are carrying it on in life.
Yes.
And that's a good thing because I taught you always to put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that and your life turns out to be what it should be.
Right.
But you always have to have him first in your life. And I'm just so proud.
Yes. I honor you with my life. And so it is always my goal to be an inspiration, not just to little Corey, but also an inspiration to my husband, right? Because
right.
I influence my household. I want to be the best wife and mom that I can be.
Right.
But the way that I was able to be that, you know, quintessential wife, in my opinion, is by the examples that I had. You being the first example, obviously, and unfortunately, I didn't get the opportunity to meet my grandmother, who I'm named after, but I feel like because you held tight onto the traditions that she taught you and my uncles, and you passed it down to me, and I just feel like it's really important for women to learn from other women.
Right, and share.
And share.
What you know, because what you share with someone today may be an inspiration today to them, depending on what's going on in their lives. It could be a kind word. If they ask a question, you may have a wealth of knowledge that you can share.
Yes.
And we are all sisters in a sense when it comes to that. And when you offer your what you know, what you've been taught, you know, you've always been taught, yes, this is my aspiration. This is what I want to do. And you're going to soar high to get it. And other women, you never know what's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But that talk could just change their whole perspective on what they think about something. And it could be just a little nugget in a conversation that they may say, thank you, Mary.
Yes.
Or, I didn't know that. Well, maybe I'll try it that way. Your sisterhood is going to be for you.
Sure.
And, you know, my mother taught me, single parent, but she governed like a man and a woman.
Yeah.
No playing games. Not that the children in our family aren't spoiled. We're all spoiled to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But that's from our grandparents, our great-grandparents. But you know at some point that spoiledness, it has a stop. But you're still going to keep doing it, essentially.
Sure.
But kids understand that.
Mm-hmm. And I think we had great examples, like you mentioned, your grandparents, who are my great-grandparents, and it just trickled down through the generations, how one generation interacts with the other generation. Mm-hmm. And our family, I think, is very unique in the fact that although I didn't get the opportunity to meet my great-grandparents or my grandparents on your side,
right,
I still reap the benefits of the lessons that they taught you because you instilled them in me. And you and right. I are very similar in that we are the only girl and we have three older brothers.
Correct.
Right. And
right.
so I always say that I feel like we were made for each other.
We're the babies of the family.
We are.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. We
hold
everybody.
We hold the boys down.
We do.
Yeah.
We keep everybody together.
And when we call, like, well, you know, they enjoy that call. It's like, I know you're going to check
mm-hmm.
because that's what we do.
Yes.
And we're the youngest, but still we're going to hold them down and hold them to a certain level of respect. But in our family, yes, we are unique because when people go out with us, how we handle our business at the table,
mm-hmm.
nobody else does that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we don't sit down like, what did you eat? No, we don't do that. One uncle pays.
That's it.
The other uncle pays.
One person pays the bill.
Yeah,
we don't
right.
worry about
who
did
pays what.
Yeah.
We
who
sit down.
What? Yeah.
20 of us could go out to eat. One's going to pay. One's going to leave the tip.
That's it.
And we hug and say, I love you.
Yes.
That
every
is
time,
something.
Multiple times a day, especially.
Yeah.
It's a lost art showing affection.
Yes.
To kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in different dynamics with my friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And also growing up and going to college. You always were there for me. If anything happened, if anything broke, you were there with a replacement. And for that, I'm very grateful. You know, I don't take anything for granted, even at, you know, this beautiful age that I am, you know, a couple decades here on the earth. And just knowing that I can depend on you still is great. And I just feel like you embody everything this podcast is about. It's about women who lead ordinary lives, but create extraordinary circumstances for their families. In our demographic.
Yes.
And it's rare to find like people that will genuinely pour into you. And like you said about the sisterhood, yes, I am a member of the first Black Greek letter organization, Alpha Kappa Alpha, but any woman that comes across my path, you know, whether
right.
she is an AKA or not, we all need to share space and uplift one another.
Never.
And you're right. You may say something to someone today, and they may not be able to apply it today. They may be able to apply it the week after or even the year after, but at least there was a nugget or a gem that I can give a fellow sister. To help her in
right.
whatever situation that she's going
and,
through.
And, you know, like I always tell you now, I have lived my life. I've raised my children. And I know, you know, strict along the way, but y'all make me laugh like little things that you did around the house. But I'm going to always be there 100%. Whatever you may need, or if it's just a conversation, because we have many conversations throughout the day.
Yes.
And at night, mm-hmm. and we talk about different things. And I say stuff like, oh, I didn't see it that way, Mom. Oh, okay. But you may say something to me like, okay, now I don't need to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do another way.
Yeah.
And anytime I do anything, I tell people I have to call my financial advisor.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
me.
They look at me like, you got a financial advisor? I say, yes. And it's my daughter.
Yes.
I don't make decisions without speaking to her because if it doesn't make sense, we don't do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I want people to understand whether they don't have that relationship, but that's our family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always going to be that way.
Yeah.
Because not saying that nobody don't love their children like I love my children.
Sure.
Or the way our family love each other and we're so close.
Right.
It's just that we just do things a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's all I know.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even think to a moment where any of that faltered.
Right.
It was always consistent.
Across the
board. Whether it was from you, whether it was from Aunt Belle, Uncle Grover, Uncle Barry,
mm-hmm.
even on Dad's side, too. I feel like the way he raised us, too, is to rely on family first.
First.
And I don't know if that was an impediment in me growing up, because for a while, because I was the only girl, I was a little self-centered, and you know that,
right?
Like, I didn't have to deal with other women, other females, because it was only me.
Again, exactly.
I'm the youngest of four. I'm the only girl, so I didn't have to compete with another sibling that was female, and I definitely didn't have to compete with the boys because we're two different genders.
Right.
In hindsight, I wouldn't say the bubble or the incubator that was our family dynamic on both sides. I don't think that it was an impediment. What I feel like it was a blessing because it now allows me to cherish people more. So all the relationships that I'm building now, I want to hold on to those people,
right?
Even after college. So yeah, some people can say that they have friends since grade school still in their lives. If I see them today, it will probably pick up where we left off.
Always.
From high school and college, mm-hmm. even though we haven't communicated with each other through all these years.
Right.
Because, you know, the friendship is
always there.
It's
going to be there.
But I can't say that I have a phone number of a friend from elementary school, middle school, high school, college.
Because those things evolved. You when you go to high school, you have high school friends. Mm-hmm. You go to college, you have college friends.
Right.
And someplace in your future, you will run into these people again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I run into them, and they always, well, how's Mary doing? I said, oh, let me show you Corey. She got a son. And how's she? I said, she's doing well.
Yes.
And you will run into these people. They run into me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them I don't remember. That's high school life.
Yeah.
Your college life, your friends with my friends, too, because it was like, they understood me.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew when I needed you and I call and you don't answer, they would always say, hey, Mary, your mom call.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, mom, please stop. I'm grown now. And which is true. That was my little pet peeve.
Yes.
And you and your brother, it's not that I was trying to control you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted y'all to live your life, but like we check in every day.
Sure.
That's all. Just check in and say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Your brother. Boys are so much different than girls.
Yes.
And he checks in. We check in every day.
Mm-hmm.
We may check in at 5:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
But that's just our little thing that we do
as
mother, daughter. And sometimes it's like, depend on what it is, but you just need to check in to see how everything is going,
right.
You know? And just to tell somebody at the end of a conversation, you know I love you.
Yep.
That has been our family trademark. It must be for hundreds of years because it started with my great-great-grandfather, my great-grandmother,
sure.
My grandparents, my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mother left us and passed on, me and my brothers just kept it up. And so when our kids came along, we start teaching you the same thing. Because you never hang up without telling your family you love them.
Right.
That's what is our family dynamics. It's so much about.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel like when you raise my brother first, because he's the oldest,
mm-hmm.
versus me, and just to give context, yes, I do have three older brothers, and I'm the youngest. So my dad has four children, and my mom has two. My dad had two sons prior to marrying my mom. So that's how I have the great opportunity of being the youngest of four. And we don't believe in halves.
No.
Because we share half of the chromosomes, we're still whole brothers and sisters. So we never said that we were half brothers and half sisters.
Nope, never. That never happened.
Right. We definitely were raised as brother and sister. That's pretty much it. Can you think back, like, raising myself and my brother, do you think that there was a huge difference in the way that you and dad raised us, or was it pretty much the same across the board?
It was pretty much same across the board because I dressed y'all alike for the longest kind of time.
You did.
And then as you progressed to get older, going to middle school, then I had to stop doing that because y'all had to split y'all off.
Right.
Because at some point, you always want to think you could be with the boy. I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going with them.
But you're not. And you go to, why? You're a girl. I understand that, but
yes.
You're not going. And at some point, we start to split y'all off because you were coming into your own personality.
Sure.
You were coming into your own friends because your friends and his friends couldn't be the same friends.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all established that. And also in growing up, in the community, with the church, we dealt with the kids all the time. We were always doing projects, going on trips with the church, raising money. So you guys were always busy, and all you girls and boys were always together.
We were, yep.
So it was like my girlfriends, her daughter, everybody loved everybody's kids. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we separated. If one got it, everybody got it.
Thinking about that, you're right. It was always a sense of community.
Yep.
Whether it was outside of our family or inside our family dynamic, we were always together.
Together.
And I think that's where I get, like, my sense of togetherness.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, even now with me raising little Corey, this was the first time this past week when I went to Dallas for Boulé, the first time I was away from him for such a long period. I did have a little bit of separation anxiety, but I also knew that he was in good hands with you and Dad. I didn't have any trepidation because I knew that you would take care of him like I would, mm-hmm. because I know you know all the things when it comes to how I raise him and, you know, the things that we do on a daily basis and the habits that we have put in place for little Corey. But I do have those moments where I have separation anxiety when it comes to little Corey.
You will have that because essentially he is still your baby until he get in middle school. In high school, mm-hmm. then you won't have it as much.
Sure.
You're nurturing him right now. But you understood, yeah, he's going back to Savannah with my mom, and now your dad is introduced into the picture.
Sure.
Which was good. We changed up the plans, mm-hmm. didn't have a problem. And everybody wondered, well, y'all get along so well. You have to. It's about the children. It's not about us.
Yes.
And Corey enjoyed himself. Mm-hmm. He enjoyed every moment he had with his grandfather, and that was good. And I understand now because when we talked that day, and I'm like, well, he's going to camp, but he was going with whatever we said.
Yeah.
And then I said, but that's not fair. To me, that was not fair because he's home retired.
Yes.
Why do I need to put him in camp?
Come on, equity.
So I took him out of camp.
You were sharing that baby.
Yep. And I shared him. He went with his grandfather all day. They went to the community center. He said we were just looking, mm-hmm. whatever they were doing, I don't know. But meeting people, getting to know, to see what an elderly center looked like.
Yes.
Because kids need to be exposed to certain things.
Right.
Not everything. It just depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. They went to the movies. He went to the jump park. He did everything normal that he did at home. But you better best believe on Friday, it was like, okay, I'm ready to go home now. Because he missed you because that's what happens. It was all fun and games up until Friday. Uh-huh. And he like, I miss you. Oh. I'm ready. I want to come back to my house.
Yes.
So, but me and your father worked it out. That's what we do.
Yeah, I think that's great for me being away in Dallas.
Right.
And I didn't call you guys because I said, I'm not going to call. And I couldn't call anyway because I was so enthralled in all of the things.
Yeah, we were too busy texting you.
Yeah, I was so busy. And to know that he got the opportunity to hang out with Dad, too, that really made my heart smile. So mm-hmm. kudos to you. And you've always been an equitable person. You've always been fair.
Yeah.
Regardless of the situation, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're right. We're all grown-ups.
Yes.
And we should be able to govern ourselves accordingly.
And happen.
It's important for Corey to spend time with everyone. Like, I even want him to see my uncle, you know, his great-uncle. You know what I mean? Because Dad has two siblings. One, unfortunately, isn't here with us anymore, Uncle Alfonso. But Uncle James is still around. And I know that he has a lot of kids, too, that may be around Corey's age. And, mm-hmm. and all of his grandkids, like, they have more boys now, whereas before it was
again, all girls
on that side, too. You know, I want to capitalize on him meeting him as soon as he can.
That's right? His family.
Because Dad is the baby of all his siblings.
Right.
Right. And Uncle James, is Uncle James the oldest? I think Uncle James,
no.
He's the middle?
He's the middle one.
Okay. Yeah, and Uncle Alfonso was the oldest.
But your son, like, he wants to know his family dynamics, which is only fitting.
I love that.
Because it started out as one question, mm-hmm. but he got a lesson for the whole week.
Yeah.
He ain't did my side yet, but he wanted to know who belonged to who.
Right.
And he's right, because he's 7 years old, and he like to know where, like, in
where
other
did
words,
I come
he's
from?
Learning his history.
Yeah, he is.
Where did I come from?
Yes.
Who
belongs to who?
And who belongs to who? Mm-hmm. Was she married? Did she have a husband?
Uh-huh.
And where is that husband?
Uh-huh.
You know, what happened?
Yes.
But certain things you don't tell children.
Right. So you guys gave him
surface
knowledge.
Right.
Based on
not
his
deep,
age.
Deep. Right.
Right.
So as far as he knows, he has a mom, he has a pop.
That's it.
And that's all he knows.
Yeah.
And when he gets older and understands more,
mm-hmm.
see, you give kids, sometimes parents give kids too much knowledge.
Too much.
About anything.
Yes.
That stuff is in their head,
uh-huh.
and it's like a little computer. And it comes out, mm-hmm. and he's going to be questioning, well, why she? But you don't do that to children. You give them just the surface part.
Yep.
By the time they get to be an adult, they'll understand.
Yeah.
Because the dynamics they see right now is I have a mom and dad at home. They're not really worried about me because, you know, I can get on a plane and come anytime.
Yeah.
And this time, well, I spent time with my pop and I had a good time, you know?
Yeah.
And so to us, we only gave him just the surface. He don't need to know that. He don't need to know why this, why that. Because you don't overload kids. They're supposed to be children.
Yes.
And when you overload them with adult stuff, that's not good for their psyche. And they'll be thinking about it. And they'll question more and more. But once he found out who was he was fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what you do. And when people sit down, you don't tell a kid parents stuff.
Yeah. It's too much too soon.
Too much for them to handle.
And I'm very much a huge proponent of time and place.
Yeah.
Especially with certain subject matter that's age appropriate.
Right.
Especially for my son. Whether it's the words that come out of the mouths of other family members. I'm very guarded in the fact that I only want Corey to experience certain things when it's
necessary,
mm-hmm. right? I have the duty of protecting his eyes and his ear gates.
Exactly.
Because I know when his mind goes, like I can look at his face and tell that he's like thinking about something. Like he's in his mind, he's
trying to figure it out.
Distilling it down, like, mm-hmm. what is this, right? And
right.
then the questions come out, but I can see it on his face first that he's thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't let it go Sunday. Him and his pop had a discussion. By the second day, he had his answer.
Mm-hmm.
He was done with it then.
Yeah.
But we didn't go into details because, like, again, they need to know surface when they're little.
Yeah.
That's even when people go through divorce and they put it on their children. That's not the child's fault.
Right.
Your child should be kept out the equation. Your only concern is making sure that child gets what they need.
Mm-hmm.
They're taken care of. There is no downfall. You don't let a child miss out because you and the parents, as parents, y'all not getting along.
Right.
And that's the biggest mistake that goes on in America with people fighting over children. No, you don't fight over children.
Yeah, or put kids in the middle.
Or put them in the middle, right.
And I'm happy that you brought that up. Honestly, for a long time, I felt like I couldn't relate to single moms because I'm a married woman,
mm-hmm.
with a child, right?
Right?
So in hindsight, I was like, you know what? I can relate to single moms because I was raised by a single mom. And
right.
for quite some time, I had the mindset of a single mom. Like, I had to do everything for Corey.
Right.
And I felt like I needed to be the decision maker. But unfortunately, I left Big Corey, who's my husband, out of the equation. And that wasn't fair to him. So even though it wasn't said explicitly, it was implied.
Right.
And so I had to check myself to say, you know what, Mary, you do have help. And
right.
allow Corey to be a father, because this is what you prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
Before you even got pregnant and conceived little Corey, you prayed to God to be the vessel to bring forth a male child so that you, Mary, could recreate the relationship that Big Corey should have had with his dad.
Exactly.
And when God granted me that blessing, because Corey is my biggest blessing.
Right. You were blocking it.
How then can I squander the blessing?
Right.
By not allowing Corey to be a dad.
Dad.
Not explicitly, but implied.
It was self-conscious.
Right.
Because all you saw was me mm-hmm. raising you and your brother.
Right.
And like, I got to work hard because this is my child. I have to take care of him. But you knew in the back of your, well, I got a husband. Mm-hmm. And I'm really like cutting him out. So you like, okay, let me roll back a minute.
Yes.
And let me rethink this.
Yeah.
And then, and not that he understood.
Super patient.
Patient is a virtue. My son-in-law mm-hmm. got it. And he didn't come out and y'all have blown out arguments. No. What did he do? He stepped up inadvertently.
Yeah.
And got in that equation.
Yeah, for sure.
Because God knew in your heart that's what you wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's what you got with him. As soon as that baby got in that car, I said, I miss you, bro. You know, and they did that little dap, the little thing, you know, and I'm like,
fist
oh, okay.
Yeah.
God showed you the path that you had to take. And Corey just slid right into mm-hmm. place.
That's it. He's been very instrumental, I'd say, yeah. in changing my mind, because my mindset was that of a single mom. But physically, that's not my reality.
Or
that
right.
wasn't my reality. But I can't help function in this way because, like I said, you were my first example. One of the first examples. I wouldn't say only example because yeah. I had aunts that were really in there too. Great right. matriarchs. But for sure, you were my first example. So not so much a wake-up call, but it allowed me to be more cognizant of how I did things.
And that's when your anxiety comes in. Mm-hmm. Because you felt as though this is my child and I'm leaving him and you're feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have to do that because Corey takes care of Corey like you take care of Corey.
Right.
But your mindset was like, after a while, your baby got to be to the point like, oh, I don't want to go. I'm going to stay here with daddy. God allowed Corey to come on in this picture. Mm-hmm. He had always been there. Mm-hmm. But you was like a mother nurturing.
Yes.
This is my child. And I'm the only one that can do for him.
Right.
Believe me, that's what most women think that too.
Sure.
But now we have these fathers now that wants to step up. Mm-hmm. And single mothers, married mothers, they got to let these men do what they do. Because it's been far too long that we as women, we're going to protect that child.
Right.
But now let these men in. Let them do what they do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And these boys will have guidance. And not so much what's going on now, but they'll have somebody to hang out with, they can do stuff with. And men are now realizing they have lost so much because with their dad, they probably lost as much.
Right.
And now they want to change up the picture.
Right. Change the trajectory
right.
of their family's life.
Right. And say, okay, not just the boys, but the girls too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because see, last year was the guy dad thing. Mm-hmm. This year is the
girl dad.
Girl, yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're going to put them together, and you will be seeing more fathers out with their children.
Oh, yes. I've been seeing it on social. There's like a group of dads.
Yeah.
That'll take the babies, and whether they do a dad walk or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's really
great.
Cool. That's
yeah.
cool that they want to be integrated into their kids' life and be visible.
Exactly. And not just to say, I'm just your dad. Mm-hmm. And with prayer and everything, you know, people, if you got to put prayer first.
Yeah.
And once you put that prayer in there, God's going to work it out.
Sure.
And he's going to change that heart. But women have to allow, you can't hold on to what has happened.
Yeah.
Because if I had held on to what has happened, then it would just be me and Corey this week. Mm-hmm. He would have went to camp. He
yes.
would have been picked up. But you have to at some point forgive that person.
Right.
In order for your life to flourish, forgive. You may not forget, but you're going to forgive that person.
Right.
And move on. And this is when your dynamics change. You can get along. You don't have to love that person. You can love them to a certain point. You're going to always... It's still, I'm telling you, divorced people still have a little bit of love for each other.
Yeah, because they spent so much
time together.
Honestly, by having little Corey go with dad this week, mm-hmm. it kind of gave you a peace of mind in regards to how Corey was going to be picked up and all of those things. I felt like you didn't say it specifically. It was a little bit of a weight lifted because you knew that he could be with dad mm-hmm. or be with his grandfather. And then once you finished work, you can go and pick them up. You didn't have to worry about who was going to pick them up, whether they were going to pick them up on time or any of that.
Exactly. Because everybody on that list.
Shaky. You weren't sure.
Wasn't but one.
Right. We know Derek would have went.
Your brother cousin.
Yes, my brother cousin.
Yeah. And we knew he would go pick him up.
Cousin brother.
Yeah. So I knew that. But the other ones on the list?
Shaky.
So I went to work. Yes. A peace of mind.
Yes.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Got off. Went, picked him up.
Yeah.
And then me and him went on our little journey for the night.
Yeah.
So it was a peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Because that job, I would have left.
Yep. I got to get my baby.
I got to go get my baby.
I love that. So it was great having you on the podcast, Mom.
I enjoyed it. It was a pleasure on my birthday eve.
So if there was one thing that you could tell all the mothers out there, a short little phrase, what would that one phrase be?
Just put God first. Keep prayer in your life. And anything in your life you want to achieve, it will be achieved. Mm-hmm. Because I'm living proof. But always tell your kids you love them.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
And just be there for them.
Yes.
No matter how bad the situation, how good the situation, mm-hmm. just be there to just give them the love they need.
Aw, you're such a Cancer. Look at those tears rolling. Well, with that, yes. I love you immensely. You know that.
I love you too.
And yeah, this is Ain't That a Mother podcast with Mary Hunter. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you for pressing play today. I can't put into words how much your support truly means to me. If you liked today's episode, send it to another mother or share it on social media. And also follow the podcast at Ain't That a Mother on Instagram. I'm your host, Mary Hunter. Thanks again for supporting ATAM Podcast.